I guess it's been 7 years since I came to Tyler, Texas, and it seemed like it was yesterday for a lot of us to make that move here to Tyler, Texas. And I think I'm very grateful for all everybody in here for this church to help me in my growth in the ministry and growth in God's church to do so much that we've been able to do in these last 7 years. Very grateful for Charles, for John, for Larry, for all the ministry that have, I guess, been mentors and been there, you know, been there as, you know, because again, I've been serving as pastor for what, 5 years now in this church, but really these guys are the backbone of God's church here, and they're great guys, and everybody and I look to them as great examples of what it is to be an elder in God's church. So yes, I guess as you know, I'll be leaving with Ann, and we'll get in the truck, and hopefully we'll make it there in one piece, and be in Atlanta tomorrow unloading the truck, getting everything done, and it's going to be great. But I am very sad. I am, you know, very, very sad to leave. You know, because this y'all are family. This is home. Atlanta's my new home, and it was my old home, I guess, before, because again, the people in the church in Atlanta and Montgomery, I'd had to make the same kind of talk to them 7 years ago that I was leaving Montgomery and leaving Atlanta, and they were very upset about that because they were losing the pastor. But I'm coming back, and so we got a lot of things that we're going to be able to accomplish, and a lot of men out there who are very gifted, who needs some pushing to move up levels and do some things for the church that we've been doing in that area for quite a time in the Southeast. So I'm really excited about the opportunities that lay ahead of us. So you may be wondering, so what's going to happen here, Church in Tyler? We have a lot of good men who are capable to do things. And so Larry Watkins, and I'm grateful for Larry. Larry will be taking over as pastor, and hopefully he'll let me come speak in the future. I hope to come out every couple of months or so to be here. And I will still be employed by the church. You know, so the website will still be on tomorrow. It will still be working, and our app and our webcast will continue to move forward. Bring on the Sabbath. We have one scheduled next week. Happy that Blake Silverstein, another one who's been training under Larry Watkins from CEM, will be joining Bring on the Sabbath on a regular basis. And John Reedy and Lisa McCone will be there. We do have plans of an East Coast edition because we've only been doing it for twice a month. Bring on the Sabbath, and we'll help. You will help. Okay, she will help, and will help, and we will have a lot of the gifted men who are in that area and from district churches, independent and CGI and United, whoever wants to come out and be a part of what we're doing as far as bringing God's church together, working together. You know, that's always been my goal, is to how can we work with the people out there who are the Church of God, because there's so much Church of God, and it's, when you realize that the Church of God is doing pretty good. I think we're doing well. I was, very excited to be at the feast in Fort Walton and seeing so many majority of people, young people with children who are in God's church, who are raising their children to be the future. So we have a big future for the church, and we just got to work at making sure that the proper training happens for everyone and that we continue to move forward. So again, I'm sad, but I'm happy that Larry, who, again, I've always looked to Larry as a mentor and leader, and he's going to do a great job as pastor here. He's been pastor so many times. How many years? He knows what he's doing very well. He's a great, great man, and look forward to, if I can, come. All right, good. Got that. We got that on recording, that I'll be able to come back and speak. And we'll bring Ann, and we'll bring Connor. So Ann's son Connor, who I miss right now, we miss. He is at home, and hopefully he may be watching. I don't know if he's watching or not, but that's all right. But we do miss him, and we'll bring him the next time we come up and make it a family trip, and it will be a lot of fun. So as I mentioned, I'll be moving my stuff to Atlanta, and I just moved all the stuff out of storage yesterday. I had to And, you know, I guess fortunately when things happen in your life, you kind of see when certain things happen, you say, oh, maybe I'm doing the right thing because things happen so easily. And I was able to sell the house that I bought here a few years ago, like within like an hour of when we started going on sale, you know. So, like, that's pretty good. And I got more than what I asked for, a lot more than what I asked for. And I was like, well, that's pretty good as well. But that kind of pushed me, my timeline up a little bit towards moving. Because I got to get out. Because somebody is going to be moving into this house. And so I'm happy that Wesley helped me move all my stuff from my house into storage. So even to the storage. I don't know if everybody used mini storage before or been able to move. Who's moved before here? I think most everyone has done a move. And so I hoped to get all the stuff that I had done. Because I had just moved like 3 years before from a rental place. I'd purged. I got rid of clothes, I got rid of junk, I got rid of all this stuff. I said, well, I'll be able to fit this into a 10x10 storage unit. No, I wasn't able to do that. But I was able to get a 5x10 additional, and then so I had two storage units, and we were able to get it all into a 20-foot truck with the little room for our luggage, I hope, that we will be able to put in there at some point, and we'll make it back. So again, I mentioned I lived in my previous house for 3 years, purged my stuff. But when I got ready to pack, and that's also, and I also helped Ann pack a couple of weeks ago. We closed on a new house in Atlanta like last week, like a day after the feast, and then had to pack that day. And so when you're packing, and I realized when I was packing my house, sometimes you have a lot of junk. I guess I had a junk removal. People come to my house, and they got a whole big truckload of junk. Like, that's what I labeled it. This is junk. Come get this junk and move it because I don't want to take this with me. And same with Ann's house. We had stuff that we classified as junk. So come get this junk and move this away from our house. So what is junk? So, like, what is junk? Junk is either, you know, discarded material, and we think of, like, glass, rags, paper, metal, some things that may be reused, or sometimes discarded or secondhand objects, and this is coming from a definition I think I just got from right-clicking on my computer. But, and we also hear that one man's junk is another man's treasure, because a lot of times when you have some stuff that you're going to junk, somebody's like, what are you getting rid of that for? I could really use that. But one time, the junk that I discarded, or the junk that we discarded, that meant something. was needed at that point. It was like, you know, at one point, like, you know, these clothes that I bought, I was like, well, I think I'm going to wear these clothes. I think I fit into these clothes, kind of things. But then you give them away. And so as I was packing, I guess this earlier, just about a month ago, I started thinking about Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2, but we'll start in verse 1. This is what going through my mind as I'm looking through my stuff, putting stuff in boxes, going through the garage. I did a sermon earlier this year about cleaning my garage, and I have proof that I did clean my garage, so it made it a little easier, but not that much easier. There's still a lot of junk. So Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and verse 1, says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. That's what it is. And this is what was going through my head as I was, and again, those of who have moved, I think talked to some folks who have moved recently, you know, moving from a giant house to a smaller house, you accumulate so much stuff. And so this is what's in my head as I'm packing. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. As I was looking at that, why did I have all... How did I get all this stuff? And the Hebrew word translated vanity means emptiness or transitory. So you could say empty of empty or vanity of vanities. I think maybe transitory seems a better word, kind of what he's meaning here. Because things are transitory, things change quite a bit. And so that stuff was in my head. I'm moving. I'm thinking vanity of vanities. It says, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? And again, this was in my head as I was looking at why do I have all this? And some things that I got rid of at one time were not junk. I took three computers to be recycled here in Tyler. There's a place you can take your computers to be recycled. And it's like, well, and one cost me, when I was thinking, that cost me like $2,000 for that computer. And now I probably can sell it for $10 if I was lucky. Another was $800. I bought a computer, you know, maybe years ago. Another was $900. So that's like, that's a lot of money I spend on computers. Now it's junk. It's no longer worth anything because they depreciate quite a bit. And actually, they made me pay them money to take these computers. It's like I had to give them $10 because one had a monitor with it. I was like, oh, okay. But at the time, I worked really hard to buy these, and I felt like I really need these. I got to have these computers for work. I had a washer and dryer, an exercise equipment that I just gave away. I was like, I don't need this. Ann has one. So the various things I moved or junk, you know, I started figuring in my head all the money that I had spent on it. You know, I was like, I'm going to keep a running total. This is like all this money of all this stuff. And, you know, these clothes, like a shirt, might be $30 or $40 or $20, or depending on where you get it, right? And it's like, I said, man, I'm just putting this in the bag and I'm dropping it off at the Goodwill. And so you say, wow, how did I, what, you know, why did I have all this? And I guess the thing is, you know, he says transitory, all those transitory things change in our life. If you were to ask me 6 months ago from today, that I would be getting married to Ann, I would have thought you were crazy. You know, I would not have thought that we'd be getting married. I wouldn't believe them. You know, because I was perfectly happy with life. You know, as y'all know, I'm a happy person. I'm happy with things. I got my theater room at my house. I got y'all have been there. I had you know, things to keep me occupied, and a lot of work to do for church, which I'll continue. Now, if you would have asked me tomorrow, 6 months ago, then I would have said yes, I want to marry this woman, because that's when we met 6 months ago from tomorrow. But again, it's amazing how like one day can change things, or meeting a specific person can change things. So our priorities change throughout our life, right? Yeah, we all agree that we have different priorities. When one day we think we're doing one thing, the next day we're like, oh, well, maybe not. So I never thought in my wildest dreams I would ever come here. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 4 says, one generation passes away, another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes towards the north, and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about it continually, and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, right? You have these transitory things in life, things that are cycles, right? The clouds go up, they come down, they rain, you know, I think O'Reilly, like the, you know, the tide comes in, tide goes out. You know, all these things in nature we see, it's just a cycle and it continues over and over, these cycles and we see. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. And that's probably very, very much in our society today. There's so much to see, so much to listen to, with streaming services and TV, and there's way too much that we can occupy with us that we, in the end of the day, it's just transitory. It's just there for a short time. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done, and there's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who come after. So what is Solomon saying here? That really we think this life matters to us right now. It's like, this is very important. Like, what I'm doing is like the most important thing, or this is very important today. And it is, right? To us today, these are very important things. It's very crucial that we take care of business, that we do these things, but in the grand scheme of things, what will it matter like 100 years from now? Like me talking right here, I guess maybe you two may be around 100 years from now if Christ has not returned. Maybe someone may chance watch this and say, you know, for some ancient history class to see what people were wearing or doing 100 years ago. But you think about Solomon, you know, we remember Solomon, right, because of his writings. Remember, we don't know too much about him. We know some about his personality a little bit, but we really don't know Solomon like you really know someone. We just know him from his writings. We know the history that's recorded about him. But do we know any of the names of his servants, really, unless there's a few recorded there in Scripture? We don't really know, because he had so many servants, or names of all his wives. He had quite a few wives, and so do we? You know, maybe we have a few of those, but we don't have all of them recorded. And all the people who lived at that time, those people, their lives were important to them. They lived their lives just like we live our lives. They got married, they had homes, they worked, they toiled, they built things at the time of Solomon. And what do we think about them today? We don't even know them. Maybe we may be lucky to dig up some archaeological remains and maybe see a name of someone and wonder who that is and maybe how they lived. But we don't really remember those. That's probably the way it has been for most of the people who have ever lived, is that, you know, the memory is kind of lost. You know, all this, what was all this hard work for, is what he's trying to convey here. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1 says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely this all was vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? Again, you know, we love to laugh, we love happy, but what is, you know, in the end, what does it accomplish? Other than the immediately, you know, we feel good. I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. And again, you know, I think of all that he had. You know, he had many wives. I'm going to have one, and that's, I think that's probably enough. I think you all agree that's probably enough. Probably enough, right? Yes, you say probably? Probably?
No,
better be enough, right? Better be enough. All right, so yeah, one is enough. But for him, he had so many wives. He had so much possession, Solomon. He had all this, you know, as a king, like, and was like a kingdom that was, you know, reached around the world and in the impact. And did it really matter? All that now doesn't matter now to all that he had. You know, we have in our country today the ability to really eat some good food whenever we want. Or, you know, and air conditioning, which I talk about a lot, but I love air conditioning. I love air conditioning, and we have that, and it's a great. He didn't have air conditioning, but he may have somebody with fans or something, you know, waving at him. But we have the air conditioning, we have entertainment that they can even imagine, right? We have this great, maybe they might have people acting in front of them or something, but, you know, we have entertainment. And so we can experience individually, in at least in our country, maybe in a lot of parts of the world, all these pleasures of what it was like to be a king. Because we have those kingly pleasures as far as entertainment, food, you know, quality of life that so few in the world have ever had. But we have those things. And so maybe we can relate now a little bit to Solomon. It says, you know, and we have, unfortunately, in our country, people who abuse it and they gratify too much. And it leads to a lot of folly and a lot of problems for a lot of people because of this excess and the temptations that are out there. Verse 4, I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I remember buying my first house in Alabama in 2008. 2008 was only 11 years ago. Okay, and I thought, well, I'm going to be here forever in this house. Yeah, I don't know if you ever thought that about a house. I thought about the house here that I bought. I guess the house that we're moving, we're going to be there. We better be there forever. Because Ann has moved like every year for the last 5 years to a different house. And so this is where we're staying, in this house. We'll keep it there. But again, it's kind of folly to, you know, we never know what the future holds for any of us. And so you just have to do what you do now. But we have, you know, again, many of us probably have nice homes. Some of us may have vacation homes. We build these things, and then sometimes we downsize after we've built them for a lifetime. He says, I made myself gardens and orchards and planted all kinds of fruit trees on them. Made myself water pools from whence to watered the growing trees of the grove, acquired male and female servants, and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold, and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers. So he didn't have a radio or MP3 or whatever, they just sang for him. So again, the lights of the sons of men and musical instruments of all kinds. So he had a really great life. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. And also my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from my pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. Right, so he was, he rejoiced, because he, he's a pretty good king to be able to, he was accomplishing pretty good. I got all this stuff, you just don't get that by fiat, God was blessing him, but he was working very hard. He was very wise. He was making good decisions so that he could manage his kingdom and be able to have all that stuff. It says, then I looked at the work, verse 11, the works that my hands had done and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity, all was transitory. All was just temporary. And grasping for the wind, there was no profit under the sun. Again, where are all those great works today? He's talking about all that stuff. I'd like to see some of that stuff. I think sometimes we may find a little piece here, they might dig up. It's rubble. It's junk. Basically, it is dust in the ground. It is gone, the stuff that he was talking about. So he was right. When he wrote that, he was right. I built all this up, but now we read it and we know, he was right. All is vanity. Let's go to the conclusion of this. I could just stay in Ecclesiastes all day, but I know we want to, there's some food and stuff we want to get to. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9. It said, moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. In verse 10, the preacher sought to find acceptable words of truth. So the words which was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. Wise words. Those things are important. The wisdom, what God gives us, understanding. And further, my son, be admonished by this wisdom that is in God's word. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. So let us hear the conclusion of all the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So that's the conclusion. And that's, I guess, most important for you today, for everybody out there watching, for us, is what is our relationship to God? How are we pleasing to Jesus in our relationship with Christ? Are we doing the things that he wants us to do in our lives? Are we doing those things? Are we learning those wisdom? Because again, so the houses will fall. Things will change, right? I can say what I'm doing next week. You can say what you're doing next week, but who knows if it comes to pass? But what we can do today, what we can always do, is put our hope in Christ. Let's look at what Christ had to say about these things. Luke 12, verse 22. Luke 12, 22. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat. Because a lot of us right now are probably thinking about what we're going to eat here in a little bit. That means it's natural, right? In my mind, a lot of times I'll be eating lunch thinking about what's for dinner. She knows that. But he says, think about your life, what you'll eat, or the body, what you'll put on. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. I guess we kind of learned that in Atonement. There's less day when where all the conversations turn to food, on that day, I've always noticed. But we have to learn that life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, but and God feeds them. You know, God designed them so that they had the ability to go out and find the food, and God has provided it for them. It's part of the natural cycle of things. And how much more value are in the birds? So did not God design a way for humans to prosper, to be fed by God? Of course he did. You know, so those things are there. And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you're then not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon, so he's probably, I would think at this point when Christ is talking about this, he's thinking the same thing, the vanity of vanities. He's thinking of these scriptures. He's thinking of what, you know, Solomon did and he knew, right, Solomon's legacy. So even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is grown to the oven, so it could be, you know, or wheat or whatever is grown to the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows you need these things. So again, as we're talking about back to moving, all those things that maybe, again, I don't know if I just needed them. You know, I needed a place to sit. I needed a place to sleep. Needed clothes. Needed different things. Some of the stuff I didn't need. A lot of stuff I didn't need. But we get these things. And we should know that God will always provide for us no matter what we have or don't have. That if we have our faith in him. If Jesus is number one in our life, which is most important. So he says, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you. Seeking God's kingdom. So I guess it's something I've learned, you know, as I get older, you know, that's what works. You want to tell somebody what works in your life is, you know, I mean, again, it's good to work hard. It's good to be prosperous, to do all these things, because that's part of seeking, pleasing Christ, because Christ wants you to be successful. Christ wants you to work hard. Christ wants you to do all these things. But that's the best plan for life. And so, again, I mentioned I was very happy, you know, I guess 6 months ago from today. I was very happy with my wife before I met Ann. And, again, that's the way she was as well. She was very happy and very, and that's probably what you should be, right? I was very happy. She was very happy. I put Christ first. She put Christ first. So, again, two people who put Christ first, it kind of works out pretty easily. And no matter what decisions I've made or what she's made, I think it was we talked, we've always put God first in those decisions. And when you do that, things kind of work out. So I'm going to Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiastes 4. And this is something that's probably going to be read at our wedding, I think. I'll have to ask her about it. I'm looking at it. I don't know if she's not or anything. But maybe something we read at our wedding. I know the last part will be Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And it's a good thing. What's most important in life? You know, seeking Christ and then his family and our relationships. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help them up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? So this again, I think I understand that more now than I did maybe 6 months ago. Those words, what it is to work together with someone towards a common goal. It says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, a threefold cord makes me think of Connor, her son. And we do, and we just got this three cords at the wedding that she'll have a cord. And I'll have a cord, and Connor will have one. And I guess we're supposed to weave them. I don't know how to weave. So it's going to be, but she braid or whatever, right? I don't know how to do this. So you see, I didn't know the word for it. But I'm going to follow her directions, and we're going to put them together, and that cord is going to be very strong, and we're going to give it to Connor as to remember, you know, that we're, you know, three are stronger than one. You know, part of a team. We're a team. And again, so seeking God's kingdom together is the important thing to do. Again, anybody who's looking for someone, find someone who's seeking God first, and that's the way to go. Philippians chapter 3. And we all here are a team, right? We're a team in this church. We're a family here. I think we've done some things together as a team. And again, I'm grateful for the team today, the praise worship. I thank Carl for putting that together. It's beautiful. It was great. Everybody here by singing, we're praising God together because we're a team together in God's church. And we're all working for our Savior Jesus. And that's it. If we're doing that, it's not transitory. It's not in vain. These are things that count. These are things that are important. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. He says, I have no confidence. And this is, you know, Paul's saying here, have no confidence in the flesh, in that whatever we do in the flesh, even though if we're obeying obediently or all the things that we do outwardly, that's not where our confidence lies, in fleshly things. I think of, there's a man named Ray Kurzweil, and you can look him up if you're interested, but Ray Kurzweil thinks that he's going to cheat death. He's a scientist, doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in an afterlife, but he believes that he's going to live forever. So Ray Kurzweil's, and he's working with a group of scientists, even with Microsoft and these different things, and he believes that technology will give man the ability to live forever within the next 20 years. And so they're betting that maybe they'll be able to download their brains into a computer. And once that's saved, maybe they'll be able to build a body later on with all this biotechnology and put the brain back into it. A lot of these people who, when they die, if they die before they're finished, they'll freeze their brains because they're hoping, because that's the only hope they have, because they're relying, right? They're putting their confidence in the flesh. They're putting their confidence in everything, that they're going to be able to pull off the impossible of living forever in the flesh. It's impossible. But Ray Kurzweil wants to live forever. And he's seeking to do it. When I see it, I just think it's foolish. You know, it's vanity of vanity to do those things. So here with Paul, he explains his confidence in the flesh and things that he could boast about. He says, though I also may have confidence, verse 4, in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Right? He says, circumcised of the eighth day. Right? So he was circumcised when he was young. He says, of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And that's interesting. He's a Hebrew as Hebrew can get. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And concerning the law, a Pharisee, a lot of zeal. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness, which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me? So again, so that's the kind of, where Paul, I think when Paul was writing this, he understood what Solomon did. You know, there's all these things you can put your confidence in. Like I'm going to come to church regularly. I'm going to do all these things. But if you're not putting your faith in Christ and putting Christ first, everything else is vanity. He says, but what things were gained to me, these have counted loss for Christ, verse 7. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, to whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, as junk. So, you know, talking about junk or rubbish, all those other things are just junk out there. What's most important is our relationship with Christ. He says, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. Because, you know, if we rely on that, we're just foolish. Because there's no amount of righteousness I can work up in myself that's ever going to be worth anything that nobody's going to remember. But Christ's righteousness. But that is the righteousness through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold on me. And hopefully he's laid hold on you, on your hearts, to press on. And brethren, you know, brothers, sisters, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So again, I just want you to think today, what is important to you? Right? What do you, you know, if you move lately, you probably had the same kind of revelation, but what is actually important in my life? What time do we spend the most time on in our lives? Verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, having this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. So this is the example of putting Christ first and disregarding the flesh. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. You know, if you're putting your faith in anything else but Christ in this life, you're an enemy to what Christ has done on the cross. So whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? Our belly could be, you know, people can put that ahead of God, or the physical things in life. And whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things, So Paul, I think when he wrote this, he must have been, had just read what, or recently read what we read Solomon had wrote. Right? Because Paul understood the lesson of this in Ecclesiastes, that all is transitory. So he says, verse 24, our citizenship is in heaven, for whom we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, and it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Christ is doing it for us. We've got to let him work towards that kingdom. So what is important? Again, I guess, you know, so this right here, I guess I'm speaking, kind of makes a change here. You know, so what's going to happen, Church of God here? It's going to be great. You know, under Larry's leadership and all the leadership here who I just was following anyhow. So these folks here, it's going to, things in this church are going to be awesome. And things are going to continue to get better for when we go to Atlanta. Wherever God leads you or us to do, as long as we are putting Christ first. And I ask you, please put Christ first in everything that we do here, and everything that we do in our lives, and every decision we make. Let's put Christ first, and though that's the most important thing. And everything else is just temporary. It changes. Know that I love you all, and I love Ann here, and we're going to get married in 2 weeks. Very excited about that. So, definitely, changes are ahead, but I know we'll continue to always put Christ first.